Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got a lot to get to on today's show. Predators head coach John Hines will join us at 7:30. Looking forward to that conversation. A tough one last night for the Nashville Predators. They've got an opportunity with two coming up against the Carolina Hurricanes to clinch a playoff spot later this weekend. We'll talk to John Hines about that. Ben Arthur covers the Titans for the Tennessean. We'll drop by at 8:45. And Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst at 9:30, is always taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how are you? What's going on?
Doing all right.
Yeah?
Yep.
Did you a little golfing last night?
Yeah, great event at Top Golf, a Preds event. We had a couple of bays. So Chase McCabe had one bay. I had the other bay. I guess I had, like, you know, we represented the station, and then we had listeners. So some winners from yesterday, which was awesome. And Chase, that's easily his best sport. I can tell you that right now. I think we may have video, you know, to go out. And I mean, several times I looked over and I was like, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Again, the bar's a little bit low.
Bar's a little low.
For Chase. But when I think about the sledgehammer, the bat, what else have we had with Chase?
I think that's all I've been able to withstand.
Is it those two only?
Yes. There's no video of him shooting a basketball, but I can tell you it is amazing.
I bet it is.
So he was all right. He was all right. And, so shout out to my team. We called ourselves the Village Idiots.
Nice.
Scott and his dad, Bill, and Ryan and Brian. Brian.
That's good.
Active duty Army.
Awesome.
Fort Campbell, helicopter pilot, and also a dude who looked like he could hit a golf ball about 500 yards and probably beat up the whole place if need be.
Yeah. You know. Well, that's always good to have.
I felt secure in the bay, so that was good.
I know Chase texted us last night from the event. I think he put this on Twitter, too. And he won one round with his team. I mean, they hit 20 golf balls. He ended up with a score of 34. That was the high score on his side of the bay. So you don't see Chase McCabe and high score associated together very often in an athletic event. So I was proud of him.
That's great, yeah. Now, you know, anybody who's been to Top Golf, like, I scored a couple times with total shanks that just went straight up and then happened to go into one of the targets, but whatever. I'm not saying that's what happened.
You're not saying it's not what happened either.
No, yeah, I don't know. But, hey, whatever. A win's a win.
A win's
and a loss is a loss.
It's true. Well done, Chase McCabe. We'll have some video for you later at 102.5 The Game on Twitter.
Later as in like 2 seconds.
Later as in 2 seconds. So make sure you're looking out for that. Chase McCabe swinging a golf club. At 102.5 The Game on Twitter, it's pretty epic. It's not quite as epic as his baseball swing, but it's pretty epic. So make sure you check that out at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Joe, the Predators, a tough loss last night. Had an opportunity to clinch a playoff berth. Not able to get it done against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They fall 4-2. Columbus adds an empty net goal with about a half a second left in regulation to make it 4-2. But a game where the Predators, they had the 1-0 lead. They had the 2-1 lead by Jadeveon Rexcroke scoring a goal there, abandoning him in Preds pick click, and then he scores for you.
Yep.
2-1 lead for the Predators. Columbus ties it up at 2 to end the period. And then they have a possession where they just dominate in the offensive zone, go up 3-2, and the Predators just didn't have an answer for it at that point. They lose to Columbus, and had they won that game, we'd be sitting here today talking about a playoff berth for the Nashville Predators because Tampa Bay hammers Dallas last night 6-2 in regulation.
Yeah, really, I think disappointing performance, disappointing outcome, obviously, but I just didn't feel like they played their best. I didn't feel like they played like they've been playing. And, I mean, really, you look at the whole set there in Columbus. I mean, you've got the blown lead. So you blow a three-goal lead in the first game. You get the overtime heroics. You get the 2 points. And then you blow, what, two leads yesterday, right? 1-0 and 2-1.
Yep.
Just not great. Not the type of performance you want to see from a team that's supposed to be, one, getting in the playoffs, and then also bringing its best to the playoffs. So Dallas helping out. We'll see if Dallas has anything left. If I'm Dallas, I'm like, you know what, get 1 point tonight. And then you're sitting there with Chicago for two, and they got Carolina for two.
Yeah.
Find a way one time, or not tonight, it is
Friday.
Tomorrow. It is
Friday.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Find a way, and it goes back into your favor.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, Terry Crisp talked about this after the game, and I agreed. I just didn't think the energy level was where it needed to be and where I expected it to be. I mean, you've got a game coming in there where you've got an opportunity, if things go well, to clinch a playoff berth. I mean, you've got to take care of your own business, and then you worry about the result of Tampa Bay and Dallas after that. I don't think the Predators had a whole lot of energy in that game. I mean, they put together a nice push towards the end, and Ryan Johansson had a nice chance from the slot. You know, they had a couple of good looks where Elvis Merzlikins made some great saves at the end of the third period. Really, other than that, I didn't think the energy level was there. I mean, the shift where you just get hemmed in there, Ryan Ellis can't clear the puck, you get hemmed in the defensive zone for like a minute, and then Columbus scores the goal.
You knew it was happening.
I mean, that's just inexcusable. I mean, this is a team that's not good. You got a bunch of young players out there. You had a 3-0 lead in the first game. You squandered that. It got to overtime. It was a good response to go win it in overtime. But I was not impressed with the energy level. It was not where I thought it should be last night. And I don't know if that's simply just a fatigue thing and they just didn't have it in the tank last night. I don't know what it was. But I thought it was a pretty unimpressive effort last night from the Predators.
I've got a theory on why the energy in Columbus may not have been where it has been in the last few weeks.
Okay.
They've been playing huge games against Dallas, Florida, Chicago, Tampa, Carolina. And you've got this big, big Dallas game on Saturday, this past Saturday, where they win in, you know, great fashion in overtime. And then you've got this potential playoff preview coming up this weekend against Carolina. Could it have been, you know, everyone talks about a trap game. Could it have been a trap two-game series in Columbus where you feel like you're that close to the playoffs after beating Dallas? You've got this huge two-game set against Carolina. And then you've got Columbus, which doesn't really pose a threat in the standings. And you're, you know, maybe you just don't get up as much for those games as you did the others.
If that's the case, that's ridiculous and inexcusable.
It's natural, though, in sports. You see it all the time. You see it all the time.
Yeah, but you know what the stakes are. And you know in this league, too, right? I mean, we've talked about it. And that's the thing. I mean, you could look at it through this lens from the outcomes. You know what happens in this league. It happens all the time that these teams that are just playing out the string pull upsets. But that's the thing. If you know that, then you got to know the danger level, right? I mean, a guy who hadn't scored all year just had a hat trick on you, you know, and you had to pull one out in overtime. So to me, after that game, I mean, I hear you. They've played a ton of big games, but that, I mean, you put yourself in a position where you had to make this crazy run to even get in the playoffs. And I think you set a certain standard of play, and you've been pretty good at maintaining that. And I just think even a little bit of a step back from that is, it's not excusable to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they viewed Columbus that way or not. I mean, if they did, that's not a very good reflection on that room because you got an opportunity to clinch a playoff spot. Like, you're not in there yet. And right now, like, I still think they're probably going to be okay. Like, I think Tampa probably wins Friday night in regulation, and you don't have to worry about this. But if they don't, and Dallas finds a way to stay alive, all of a sudden they've got two against Chicago and you've got two against Carolina. I don't know, man. That's not a good formula. You have not beaten Carolina all year.
And it's also like this. I mean, the answer is, of course, yes. Any answer to this question is yes, but is that how you want to go in, like thanking Tampa Bay last night and then rooting for them Friday and not doing it yourself, not doing anything yourself? I mean, I know you've done a ton to get here, but, you know, you're in a position of just, you know, hoping that Tampa Bay bails you out. Now, granted, the answer again is yes. You would rather have that than be in this pressure situation.
Yes.
But you know what? If you back in here because Tampa Bay beats Dallas and then you play two meaningless games against Carolina, I don't know if that necessarily benefits you going into the playoffs either. But I get, however you get in, you get in.
Yeah, I mean,
you'll take it.
Just get in at this point and look. I still feel good about their chances as they move forward here. I just thought last night, I don't know where the energy level was. I mean, I thought they would come out and they would play like their hair was on fire with a chance to get in the playoffs. And the first period, I mean, it was, you had the goal by Tanner Janot, and it was a good play by Tanner Janot. I thought that line brought a decent amount of energy all night long.
Yep.
That was really it, though. Like, I didn't see a whole lot from any other line and really any other player out there other than that. So I was disappointed from that standpoint. Again, I don't know what the reason is. Maybe it was they took Columbus lightly, especially when you get up to a 1-0 lead and you're like, all right, well, we'll just coast here and get a win and we'll go out. But I just thought they were really average all game long, and I did not expect that heading in this game. I thought when you could see blood in the water as a Shark and you've got an opportunity to clinch a playoff spot, I thought they would come out and play the style of game that they want to play. It may not be perfect, may not get the goals you want to get, you may not execute as well as you want to execute, but the way they played I thought would be there compared to what they've looked like the last month and a half, and it was not. It was not there at all.
I mean, the second goal to me was a killer. You know, it was what, about 48 seconds left in the second or whatever, you know. And that's another case of not being able to clear the puck. That's also a shot that I would hope UC Soros would stop. You know, I mean, another thing about this game to me, and I could be wrong, but I feel like Soros in this kind of growing Vezina discussion had to have like some eye-popping numbers down the stretch and wins and performances, and it's not helping, you know, to lose this game to Columbus when you're pushing for the playoffs and you're already coming from behind in that thing. So I think that took a hit too. And I think he was good, but I guess we're kind of expecting heroics from him, and that's one he'd probably like to have back.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a strange play because Duchesne's late going to close out on the shooter, and then by the time he gets there, and you could argue that Soros was screened, but it was still one of those shots where it went in and was like, huh, that's not a goal he's been allowed as of late. It was. I agree from that standpoint. And now, like, what in the world's going on with Matt Duchesne? He had three shifts last night in the third period. Was that a performance thing? Was that a injury type thing? I mean, he went from, you know, 2 minutes into the third period, he didn't skate again for 13 minutes in the third period. Three shifts total. So now, could you have some more injury concerns creeping back up with Matt Duchesne? It's not good heading into this weekend.
Did you see anything
in terms of, like, yeah. Yeah.
I would assume that'd be it, though, right? I would assume.
I don't know why, if you're John Hines, punitive. That is not the time to be doing that. Maybe, you know, in a regular season, 82 games, and you've got some time, and this type of situation is not the time to be sitting people on the bench.
Right, yeah. You can have conversations after the game.
Yeah. So that's something to keep in mind moving forward, too. Like, could they have more injury problems moving forward with Matt Duchesne? He did come back, so I guess you feel good about that. But, Ali, it'd be nice if they could stay healthy for a little bit coming down the stretch here, too. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. What's your concern level after these last two games against Columbus? Now heading into a big weekend set against the Carolina Hurricanes. Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And the Blue Jackets win this one 4-2 over Nashville with the empty netter.
Was there something missing tonight that you guys just didn't have, whether it was energy or something that was missing towards the end tonight?
Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily think it was energy, Jared. I think it was, you know, we had some really good looks, and I thought, you know, their goaltender made some really good saves when we did have some looks. But, you know, I think there was lots of rebounds and things around the area, even not even just at the end, even in the second and throughout the game, where, you know, we just didn't have either, you know, opportunities to get to the pucks, or when we got to the pucks, we had to get some second chance looks, and we didn't get in as many as I think there were opportunities to do it. So when we had good looks, I thought he made some really good saves. And then I think, you know, against him, because he is a very good first save goalie, I think that traffic and the rebounds and the hunger in that area of the ice, it wasn't good enough to be able to get one to him.
That was Predators head coach John Hines after the 4-2 loss for the Predators last night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And talking about the hunger level there to get to some of these second-chance pucks, second-chance rebounds for the Predators last night, I agree. I didn't think that was there. I did think energy was a problem with the Predators last night. You heard John Hines say he didn't think that that was necessarily the case. I did. I thought it was a problem last night. And I guess my question would be, if that's the case and you watched that game last night, and whether it's an energy problem or not having enough hunger to get to the front of the net like he talked about there, how concerning is that when you factor in the last couple of games against Columbus? Given the stakes, given everything that's on the line, you find a way to save yourself on Monday and get the win in overtime after you blow the 3-goal lead in the third period. And then last night, it never felt like they got any traction in the game last night. How concerned would you be if you're a Predators fan about the last two games against a Columbus team that really has no business at this point hanging around?
Well, I would say we've been praising that fourth line. It's been fun to watch. But I think when you get to the point where you feel like your best chance to score is every shift they have, I think that might be a little bit too much. And I think they're the one exception to what John Hines just said. You think, especially, I think about that, the possession late with Carrier coming in and getting his own rebound. That forecheck, I think they had like everybody in front of the net. Like, those guys were in the hard areas, and there was some bad luck and there was some great goaltending, to Hines's point. But I think the concern level is that where is that with everybody else?
Yeah.
I saw Johansson up there a couple times. Can always see it more.
Yeah.
Right? And I just, like, those guys set the standard in a lot of ways, which is great, and all credit to them. And again, Tanner Jeannot, dude is he's quite a revelation. But there's some players on this team who make way more money. I know we talk about it ad nauseum, but, like, these guys have got to finish, and they've got to be more aggressive and more willing to take a beating to get in there and get greasy goals.
Yeah, and I mean, they're playing the first goal by Tanner Jeannot right now on the NHL Network. And, I mean, it's just relentless on the forecheck. You get the puck behind the net. Was not a great goal allowed by Merzlikins there, but sometimes putting that puck on net, finding, you know, that lane to get a shot through, and that's what happens. It ends up with a goal on the board. And, like I said, they just never really found traction after that. I think one thing that I've noticed lately, especially the last five games or so, Eli Tolvanen has started to cool off a little bit. I mean, he's got 8 shots on goal in the last 5 games, had 1 shot last night. He's not really been all that dangerous as of late. That's concerning. I mean, obviously the power play, you want him on that, and he's going to be a huge weapon on the power play. But 5-on-5, Eli Tolvanen seems to have dried up a little bit, and that they've got to find a way to get him going as they move forward here.
Well, it's interesting because I think the first Columbus game, I was like, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
So of those shots you just mentioned, I think just about all, okay, we're in that game. Yeah. But that's a great point. You're not seeing him. You're not seeing much of him. And that was a big part of, you know, before he got hurt, obviously the power play, but also everything. Everything with him is compete level. I mean, he was doing everything well to earn himself that role. So they need more from him. I feel like Forsberg has come back and has looked like Forsberg, but again, it's you still want more opportunities, more finishes.
Tolvanen has 1 point in his last five games.
Yep. 1 point in the last five games, 8 shots on goal. I mean, you just got to find a way to get him going again. And maybe that is, you know, as simple as on the power play. Sometimes scoring on the power play can get you going 5-on-5. We've seen that happen a lot throughout the course of the year here with him especially. So that's something that's going to have to get clicking again before, you know, the playoffs start if you make it. But you may need Tolvanen to get going again just to get in the playoffs. I mean, we'll see what happens on Friday night for the Stars against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Predators did get some reinforcements back in there last night. Colton Sissons was back in there after missing one game, and Dante Fabbro back in there as well. I thought it was interesting how they handled the D pairs to start the game. You had Ellis and Josi, you had Ekholm and Carrier, and you had Ben Harper in the game last night alongside of Dante Fabbro. I would assume that's because you want to keep the left-right shot in that same kind of formula that they like, with the left Harper playing on the left, Fabbro playing on the right. I mean, the way Matt Benning's played lately, though, I don't really know how you keep him out of the lineup.
Yeah, that's a surprise. I wonder what.
Like, I don't know what you do to fix that, because I don't know that either Matt Benning or Dante Fabbro can play the left side and is all that effective on the left side. So maybe it's just one of those things where you got to make a tough decision, and one of those two is going to have to be out, and Harper's going to have to play the left. But I was kind of surprised when Harper was back in there last night.
You think he sticks with that?
I don't know. I mean, if you're at, like, right now, do I think Harper's one of their six best defensemen? No, I don't. I mean, Gudbranson's out last night. Now that Fabbro's healthy, probably don't need to see that guy again, unless you just absolutely have to in the playoffs. But I don't think that Harper's one of their six best guys. But it may be one of those things, like, if you're going to play Fabbro or Benning, you've got to play Harper too, because neither one of them can play the left.
I was about to say, can Benning play the left?
I don't know.
If he can, then I would say that has to be your third pair, Benning and Fabbro.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult. It sounds like it could be easy, but I mean, I think Josi could probably play the right if you wanted to. Ekholm could definitely play the right. Not many guys that could play both sides in the NHL. It's a lot harder than it seems.
Yeah, people don't think about that, but you got to figure out that combination there. I mean, you could bring Fabbro up and change up your, but you're not going to do that at least for a while, right? And now you're about to, we think, start the playoffs. So you kind of need to establish something that you can go with here a little bit, right? For a couple games to get ready for that.
Would you think about shuffling up the lines at all if you're John Hines? I mean, I didn't think, quite honestly, Granlund's line was very good last night. I thought Yarncroke, I mean, he gets the goal, but I didn't think that line as a whole was all that great last night. I know it's one game, so you don't want to overreact things. If you're John Hines, do you maybe consider moving the lines around a little bit? Maybe moving Matt Duchene up? I don't know.
Maybe. And, I mean, part of the answer to that question is, what's up with Arvidsson?
Yeah.
Because obviously he comes back, that changes things. I will say that Nick Cousins was playing pretty well. I mean, it's tough decisions. The decision is not going to be Sid Duchene, unless he's hurt again, as you said. But I mean, Cousins was bringing something.
Am I missing something on Brad Richardson? Like, I understand when Sissons is out that you put him in there, and I thought he stepped into the fourth line and played okay. But, like, to me, if everybody, or at least enough people, are healthy, like, Brad Richardson should probably not be in your lineup. That's me. Am I missing something? I don't know.
I would agree. I would definitely agree. I mean, again, I was quite impressed with Richardson jumping right into the Sissons spot and what he did. He fit right in with that line. I thought he did well, but I would like, if it was a choice between Richardson and Cousins, and you're still banged up, I mean, I'm going with Cousins.
I would think so. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Arvidsson, because he's day to day, and it doesn't sound like it's all that serious. You had Sissons back in last night. You had Fabbro coming back in last night. Like, if Arvidsson's ready to go Saturday, I'm fascinated to see what this lineup's going to look like.
Well, if Arvidsson's ready to go Saturday, but it's close, and Tampa Bay just won the night before,
sit him down.
Have a seat.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying earlier is, obviously, if you're the Preds, you're rooting for Tampa Bay, don't put some big pressure on these games against a team you haven't beaten all year. But you would have two games where you're just kind of hoping to avoid injury and, you know, I guess tinkering with some stuff and – That's a weird situation if that's how it turns out. Like that you're potentially playing nine straight against a team you haven't beaten, but you know the first two are like exhibitions.
Yeah, and look, I mean, who knows what Carolina's going to look like too? I mean, they play tonight against Chicago. They win tonight, they're at 81 points. That means Florida can't catch them at that point. Tampa Bay, I mean, you're going to have to basically win out at that point. And they've got one more with Dallas, two more with Florida coming up. So, like, for all intents and purposes, Carolina could wrap up the division tonight. Like, I don't know that I believe that Tampa Bay is just going to sit there and roll through the next three games. Maybe they do. I don't know. But Carolina, by Monday, at least Monday, they may not have anything to play for as it comes around here. So, I don't know what these two games are going to look like. If you're the Predators, I think the best thing you hope for right now is just sit there on Friday night and see if Tampa Bay can take care of business against Dallas. And then you get your Pecorine start on Saturday. It all works out. I had like three people tweet me after the game last night, legitimately upset that now Pekka's not going to start Saturday. I was like, well, hold on. We'll see what happens Friday.
You don't know what's going to happen.
We'll see. He could.
I mean, he could still start Monday.
Yeah.
Right. If they have to do something Saturday and they do it, then he could start Monday. If they have to do something Saturday and they don't do it, then
we'll see.
There you go.
See what happens.
Play better at Columbus.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think if Dallas wins or at least gets a point Friday night, that Saturday night, the Preds will find a way to win that game against Carolina.
Really?
I hear everybody, the fact that they haven't beaten Carolina in six games, but that I fully believe that they would rise up and beat Carolina Saturday night to punch their ticket to the playoffs.
What if Carolina?
Because they've responded the last 6 weeks to almost every time they've lost, they've responded.
See, I'm trying to remember here. Okay, so because I think part of that is Carolina's incentive, right? So what's the mathematical scenario where the Preds would have to win, but Carolina would too? Is that possible?
I don't know that that is. I mean, it depends on what Carolina does tonight. Like, if Carolina wins tonight.
Yeah, that's true. Basically, it comes down to tonight. Like, if Chicago gets them, then that's in play. But if Carolina does what we think tonight,
they'll be at 81 points. And then if Tampa doesn't get the two.
So if Tampa gets the two, it's over. If Tampa doesn't get the two, then
Carolina's won the division.
Then Carolina's won the division. Yeah. So that's, yeah, for them, it means nothing. Yeah. So
probably just over at this point, Carolina.
So for the fourth prediction there, like, is better.
Yeah.
You know, because if they don't care, I guess you could ask, like, who would they rather play then? You know, does Carolina, like does Carolina prefer Dallas?
Probably not. I imagine they'd probably prefer the team they're 6-0 against. Yeah. My guess.
Yeah.
It's just my guess.
You would think. What's their record against Dallas? Pretty good, too.
Right? It's probably pretty good. I bet it's not 6-0. Yeah. We'll continue the discussion on the Predators when we come back. Get to your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate Giveaway, a Dos Equis prize pack including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Right now, discussing the Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone line. Bob from Antioch is calling in to Robbie and Rex Road. Bob, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. I have an observation and then a question. My observation is, the Predators are a lot more enjoyable and entertaining to watch than they were last year. Last year, I felt like there was staleness about the franchise and about the team, and they were in a tight playoff race before the pandemic shut everything down, but I don't think – I know I wasn't terribly excited about it. This year, regardless of what happens this weekend, they've been an awful lot of fun to watch, and so I'm – for that reason alone, I'm optimistic about their future, their shortcomings notwithstanding. My question is, the got Ellis, Ekholm, and Yossi, and then you've got those three or four young defensemen. Do you think that they'll leave any of the young defensemen exposed to the expansion draft?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. I mean, first off, on his first point, I would agree. I think they're 1,000 times more fun to watch this year than they were at this time last year. I mean, you could make an argument. This run they've been on, and I don't even know if it's an argument anymore, it's probably been the most fun run that they've had since what? The President's Trophy year? Maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Since they went on, what, that 15-game point streak?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a whole lot of fun as of late. The story's not done yet. They've still got some work to do. But it's been a lot of fun to see them kind of claw their way back into this point. So, to Bob's point, I would agree. I mean, I think it's been a lot of fun to watch. As far as the expansion draft is concerned, I would be surprised, based on the comments that Poyle made about Ekholm, if they didn't protect four defensemen. Like, I would assume it's going to be 4-4-1, and I would assume it's going to be Ekholm, Yossi, Fabro, and Ellis. Now, what do you do after that? I don't know. I mean, if you're protecting four forwards, I'm interested in, number one, who those are. Like, is Colton Sissons going to be a part of the four forwards that are protected? Is Kyle Yarncroke going to be a part of the four forwards that are protected? Because, like, if either one of those two guys aren't, I know everybody's talking about Duchesne, and everybody's talking about Johansson, and that may end up being the route the Predators go. But, like, if Colton Sissons isn't protected in the expansion draft, to me, if I'm Seattle, like, I'm looking to that contract being like, man, he's got 5 years left at $2.8 million per year. That's a pretty good deal. Like, that, to me, would be a pretty ripe candidate for expansion if I'm Seattle.
And there's also, on the Carrier front, I know I'm a little confused on that. So there's a formula, right, for him in terms of games played. And
yeah, and I need to look. I'm not even sure that he would be eligible to be selected.
It's close, yeah. I think. I was talking about this with Adam Vingan, and there's like the formula, but then it's like last year. I mean, I guess I would not expect him to be plucked, even if he was. But who knows? I continue to like him, you know, in terms of moving forward as well. I really like what he's doing out there. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's going to be 4-4-1, and I think you can lock in Forsberg, and you can probably lock in Arvidsson, and then it gets interesting.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, Eli Tolvanen not eligible.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about protecting him.
But does it mean that it won't be asked many, many times?
Yes.
And by the way, UC Saros.
Like, he'll probably be protected.
That was the one. Oh, man, from a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
That was the Saros.
Is Saros eligible for the expansion draft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got asked a few times.
Adam Vingan about lost his marbles on Twitter about that.
I don't know if there's
that about. Happens a lot with Adam Vingan.
Yeah, it does. So here we sit. I mean, we know the situation heading into this weekend. If you're a Predators fan, you are wearing your Tampa Bay Lightning jersey tomorrow for them to get it done against the Dallas Stars in regulation. Because remember, if the Stars get a point tomorrow, they're still technically alive. Now, they'd be on life support at that point, but technically they are alive.
Hey, I mean, that's my Newt Rockne speech, you know, for them. Get 1 point, and then it's
two against Chicago.
They don't want the rest of this outcome. Them with two against Carolina, us with two against Chicago. Get 1 point. Hang in there, and you are still alive for real.
Well, by the way, it's also like, I think since he's come back these last two games, you see how important Tyler Seguin is.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored twice in the two games since coming back. Rick Bonus, Stars head coach, was talking about last night. He's like, yeah, if Seguin was here the whole year, we wouldn't be in this position. I'm like, okay, well, duh. But it's what happened, buddy. It's the hand you were dealt. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond to Tampa. I mean, they had to come into that game last night knowing that basically their season's on the line. And Tampa Bay, I mean, they just wiped the floor with them. I mean, it was 6-2. I know they got a couple empty netters in there. But Tampa Bay, I mean, they were in control of that game. And the problem is, like, they don't need a whole lot of room. Like, one point I looked, and it was either late in the second period or early in the third, and the shots were, like, 19-14 in favor of Dallas. but Tampa had scored three times. Like, they don't need a whole lot to get out there and score. Ottinger in net, which surprised me. They'll probably go with Hudobin on Friday, would be my guess. If you're the Predators, I mean, you're pulling hard for the Tampa Bay Lightning to get that done in regulation. But if they don't, how concerned would you be at that point if you're a Predators fan, if Dallas remains alive after the game on Friday, based on the schedule? And you've also got to factor in Carolina, like what happens with them tonight too. How concerned would you be at that point?
Well, concerned, but you know what? It's also like, okay, well, earn it then.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, let's see it. I mean, look, we know Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida are all better than Nashville. But you should be able to beat a team
once, at some point.
Once in an eight-game set against them. So, yeah, you'd rather just have it be over Friday without having to do anything. But I think there's also a little bit of, okay, here's an – I mean, they stepped up to the occasion with Dallas last weekend. They've had other big games and big moments. You know, there's still that point that they lost in Chicago that could still be a factor here. If they had that point, you know, if they had that point
– at that point, Dallas has got to win – outright.
Has to win,
yeah, on,
you know,
Friday,
yeah, in regulation, or yeah, it just has to win. But I think there's a little bit of also, okay, if you think you can do anything in the playoffs, then here you go. Here's a high pressure game against a team you're gonna have to do it against, probably.
Yeah, I think it's for sure. I mean, if you got to beat them at some point, so. Look, I mean, I look at this matchup. I think a lot of Predators fans right now, if it gets to where they're still alive, and I'm talking about Dallas on Saturday, you'll have a lot of Predators fans, like, shaking in their boots. I mean, I heard from some last night, like, oh, my goodness, now they got to beat Carolina. They're in trouble. They're not going to be able to do it. At some point, you've got to find a way to win a big game against Carolina. Otherwise, like,
why do you want to go to the playoffs?
What are we doing here?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing?
If you think they have no chance, then why do you even want to watch them in the playoffs, right? I mean, it's interesting because the whole Carolina thing, really, if you're a Preds fan, you should want them to lose tonight, right? I mean, because if they lose tonight, then Tampa Bay wants to win on Friday, tomorrow. If they win tonight, Tampa Bay has no incentive for playing Dallas.
You still tie I'd have to look at exactly what the tiebreaker would be.
Tampa Bay is still playing for home ice against Florida, though.
That is true.
Yeah. For whatever that's worth, which may not be a ton, I suppose. But if Carolina loses tonight, Tampa Bay sees the opening,
it's
right?
It's a raucous environment down there in Florida. You want that home ice advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. They throw rats and things in the playoffs.
I mean,
they do throw the rats.
Whatever percentage they have down there, whether it's 50 or 60%, I mean, it kind of looks like normal in Florida.
Yeah, wow. Shots thrown by Ryan Porth. I like it. When we come back, speaking of shots thrown, I threw a couple out there on Twitter yesterday defending Tom Wilson. It made a lot of people mad. People were really mad at me, and people were really mad at Tom Wilson. We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth. They're with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a crazy, crazy game last night between the Washington Capitals and the New York Rangers, all stemming from the incident on Monday night where Tom Wilson punches Pavel Buchnevich on the ice after the game, or not after the game, in the middle of the scrum, and then takes down Artemi Panarin, causing Panarin to receive an injury. He's out the rest of the season, which the rest of the season for the New York Rangers is like two more days. But, yes, he's out the rest of the season. And that led to a crazy span of events yesterday. We'll get to that here in just a second. But, Joe, I did make people mad all day on Twitter yesterday. Basically, I don't know if – I mean, I guess it is defending Tom Wilson yesterday, which makes me kind of feel sick because, quite honestly, I don't even really like Tom Wilson all that much. I think he crosses the line a lot. I think in this particular instance, the decision made by the Department of Player Safety was the right one. He got a $5,000 fine. I've watched the play at this point 125 times. It looks bad. I watched the play, every detail of it. I don't think it was a sustainable play. And I think if it was not Tom Wilson that makes this play and takes down Artemi Panarin the way he did, and the scrum, what happened with Buchnevich, all these things, We're not even talking about this. This is a play, a scrum that happens on a nightly basis. I don't even think we're having this discussion if Tom Wilson's not the player involved. Now, I realize that's why people are so passionate about this, because Tom Wilson is involved, and he's crossed the line many times. But to me, you cannot suspend someone if the play itself does not warrant a suspension. When you can factor in his history is you determine the play is suspendable, and then you say, all right, this is a suspendable play. This is a repeat offender for a guy who's been suspended at this point 5 times in his NHL career. Then you throw the book at him, and it's a 20-game suspension at that point. That's to me when the history of the player comes into play, is after you've determined the play is suspendable, not before you've determined the play is suspendable.
I think that you judge him differently because of what he is and what he's been. So I'm going to take the side of your Twitter antagonists. And look, you are absolutely right that there are worse plays, but I didn't think this was nothing either. I mean, it looks worse. It's one of those things where if you look at it closely, you know, okay, it wasn't quite as bad as I thought at first. At first, I was like, oh, my God, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
Which is how the Rangers still perceived it and talked about it afterward. I just, look.
Fired
the guy,
people over it, yes.
Well, but that's apparently not, right?
That's the story you want to spin on it.
Yeah, you don't think you don't buy that? You don't buy that?
No.
Okay.
Anytime James Dolan's involved, I don't buy stuff.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, it seems like so far the reporting on it has been that they were going to fire those guys. But whatever, regardless, I think that he should be judged differently because of what he is and what he's been. And I think that when you do something over and over again, and it happens, this happens in other leagues with certain players who all of a sudden the punishment is way more for something that someone else, if it's their first offense, gets way less of a punishment. I think that's fine. I also think, and this is different, and this is the league, I mean, the fact that your max fine is $5,000, I mean, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that be able to be elevated, you know, to actually hit someone a little bit in the pocket. I mean, $5,000 for a professional athlete is your max fine. But that's, you know, that's separate from this specific issue. I would have suspended him because of who he is.
I have no problem with the punishment of who he is coming into play if you determine the play is suspendable. I don't want to get into a league where you're suspending guys just because of who they are with the play not being suspendable. Now, people think the play is suspendable, and that's fine. Like, if you watch that Tom Wilson play and you think he should have been suspended for it, I have no problem with that. I'm not saying you're absolutely wrong. I watched the play. I didn't think it was a suspendable play.
Okay.
I've had multiple people in multiple NHL organizations that I talked to yesterday tell me it wasn't that bad.
Okay, so you would agree it's borderline then?
It's borderline.
Okay. Well, I think borderline, Tom Wilson, you're out. GTFO, because you're Tom Wilson. You know? Borderline to me, I err toward, maybe some people it's not suspendable. That guy, it is.
I will say this. It led to an absolute gong show last night on the ice. There were 6 fights in 4 minutes to begin the game, including off the opening faceoff, which was awesome, and there were some people complaining about that on Twitter last night. I was like, okay, you're all watching this game that you otherwise would not be watching. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, do you want this to wait until mid-third period?
Yeah, I mean, come on. So, I mean, there's fights all over the place last night. Last night's game between Washington and New York was kind of crazy because it had everything to it. I mean, Tom Wilson left the game with an upper body injury, which Peter Laviolette said after he's magically okay now.
But by the way, when
crazy.
The Capitals, I think it was the Capitals PR Twitter account tweeted that out, the replies were hilarious.
Yeah. That was nice.
Vingan had the big all caps wink.
Yes. Yes. So an upper body injury sustained for Tom Wilson last night. You had that. You had Pavel Buchnevich gets thrown out of the game. He cross checked Anthony Mantha right in the face last night, which, by the way, more of a suspendable play than Tom Wilson did last night, which a lot of people on Twitter that I got into it with didn't want to hear.
See, now that's a fair point. Like, I'm with you there. If the worst play is the worst play, people have to be able to see that.
But they don't. That's kind of my problem with this whole thing. And then you got TJ Oshie, who just lost his father this week, who passed away. TJ Oshie comes back last night and has a hat trick. So you have, like, all this goonery going on around the game, and there's fights galore, and people are taking shots at each other after the whistle, and then you have, like, a great story in sports, the best story we've seen all week, TJ Oshie coming back in after his father dies and gets a hat trick and sitting there crying on the bench because of how emotional it is. It was like all over the spectrum last night in Madison Square Garden.
The NHL in a nutshell.
Yeah. It's pretty much what it was.
A lot going on with that one.
And Peter Laviolette, former Nashville Predators coach, now head coach with the Washington Capitals, discussed fight night at Madison Square Garden last night. Here's what former Preds coach Peter Laviolette had to say.
Peter, what's the latest on Tom Wilson? And was that kind of precautionary, just given the way the direction the game was going? Just go to the locker room, take care of your hand, and you know we'll take care of everything else.
Yeah, it's upper body. He should be fine.
You played hockey in a different era when there were stuff like this. Did even the penalties and just all the, was this even kind of over the top for everything you've seen in your,
I think it just, you don't see it that much anymore. And so, like I said, this is the game that was dealt to us. And I thought our guys responded well. Like I said, we were disciplined and there's things that you have to do out there. And I thought we did it. We kept our cool. Won the game. That was I said before the game, that was kind of our focal point to, you know, to make sure that we got the 2 points and that, you know, you didn't look back in the rearview mirror and not make that the priority tonight.
Oh, Lavi. Same old.
Now, that's more like the Laviolette that I remember. And like, okay, enjoying Washington. Usually we're seeing all this fun stuff from him and actual quotes, but yeah.
Well, no part upper of that body. Last night.
Yes. Upper body. He'll probably be fine.
He's probably okay. His upper body last night. Way to go, Peter Laviolette. That was something.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Like, we don't see – that's the first time I remember seeing a line brawl in a long time. It's basically what it was to begin the game last night. Hey, a little old-time hockey out there. I mean, good on the Rangers. Obviously, the Rangers felt very strongly about this. We read off the statement yesterday that they released. There have been kind of conflicting reports on the president and GM being fired. Wyshynski came out first and said it had nothing to do with that, and then said he had people tell him that they're not so sure about that. Maybe it did have something to do with apparently the president and the GM not being on board with the statement released by the Rangers yesterday. Obviously, they felt very passionately about this, very strongly about it. There was – Peter Laviolette can talk about, you know, the goal being 2 points all he wants, and I'm sure that's the goal. That was not the goal for the New York Rangers last night. It was very clear what they wanted to do right from the start.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, the game we were dealt. Well, you had a hand in the fact that this was the game that resulted.
It was expert-level phrasing there.
Yeah, the game that was dealt to us, you know.
This is where the two-game series throughout the year really contributed to this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
If there was 2 months in between the two games instead of two nights –
you'd have seen something, but it wouldn't have been to that level.
Right.
Yeah.
No question. Kind of when you think about it, going into the year, we talked about that. Yeah. Like, how could stuff like this be different in that scenario? You know, almost surprising there's not as much. But to your point, when's the last time we saw something like that on puck drop?
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
That's one of, like, one of my all-time favorite. 94 NHL stuff right there.
Well, one of my all-time favorite, you know, Bob Probert, Ty Domi, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Right away.
Just get it over
boom,
with.
Boom, let's go.
That's right. When we come back, we will switch gears, get into the Tennessee Titans, looking at two key areas on defense following the draft and free agency. Who do you have more confidence in, the pass rush or the secondary for the Titans? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards. Free shipping with no minimum purchase. Triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.